WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. There's been a deadly shooting at an ICE facility in Dallas this morning. CBS News Texas reporter Lacey Beasley is at the scene.
Two people were transported to the hospital with gunshot wounds, and Dallas police is reporting that one victim died on scene. That suspect is also deceased, and we are learning that is from a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Dallas police say that suspected shooter opened fire from an adjacent building. We don't know whether the victims are employees at the facility, detainees, or visitors, and no word on a possible motive. CBS News Texas, J.D. Miles.
It's likely going to be considered a federal crime with federal authorities taking the lead on this investigation. And that's where a lot of the information at this point seems to be coming from.
We are expecting more details at a news conference scheduled to get underway any moment now. The ICE facility is along Interstate 35 east, southwest of Dallas Love Field. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin met with Marathon County residents earlier this week, leading a roundtable on the potential loss of health insurance tax credits.
Recently, we have seen legislation pass in Congress that has made our health care more expensive in this country and certainly in the state of Wisconsin. But one of the things we could prevent or fend off is the expiration of these tax credits.
Premium tax credits help low- and middle-income families pay for their health insurance. In 2021, those tax credits went to residents purchasing insurance through healthcare.gov. The program was extended in 2022. The tax credit program is now closing in on its expiration date at the end of this year. Baldwin met with constituents who could see changes in their coverage prices if premium tax credits expire.
I am leading the fight in Congress to extend these tax credits, make them permanent so that people will be able to afford their insurance through this program.
Baldwin is co-sponsoring the Healthcare Affordability Act, which would extend the premium tax credit program.
You know, we have precious little time to act, but I'm hopeful because I do have some colleagues on the Republican side of the aisle who are taking a strong look at this. And we have just weeks to go before this will come to a head.
Baldwin says the hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites receiving health insurance through the Affordable Care Act could see their premiums increase as much as 34.5%, and 30,000 people could lose their health care entirely. She says those that receive health care through the marketplace and have incomes below 400% of the federal poverty line will be impacted significantly. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
The Brewers lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Crew trying to avoid the sweep today after losing another late night game on the West Coast, 7-0 to the Padres in San Diego. How can a team with the best record in baseball get shut out? Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
When balls aren't falling or borderline pitches or strike threes and things like that, that's tough times. But you got to get through it. Every team goes through it.
NFL, the Packers making a move, releasing veteran receiver Mecole Hardman from the practice squad last night after losing to the Browns on Sunday. The team signing a rookie speedster, Jacoby Keeney-James, out of UMass, who spent some time with the Lions. Matt LaFleur on being beat by a Browns team that had not won a game since last November.
I just think this league is such a week-to-week league, and you can never lose sight of that, and you can't take any game for granted. The goal is to go 1-0 every week. It pisses me off when we start talking about things outside of the next game.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Slightly cooler today with mixed skies. Highs only scrape about 70. Got patchy fog possible again overnight tonight. And after it lifts tomorrow morning, it'll reveal abundant sunshine and highs warmer in the mid-70s. And we hold that for Friday, too. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 58.
On Saturday, the Wausau West High School football team plays host to Stevens Point at Tom Field. Hear all the exciting action on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 12:35 and the kickoff at 1 p.m. Wausau West football on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Featherstone Cabinetry, the Wausau West Gridiron Club, K5 Construction, and Rocket Industrial. It's Wausau West versus Stevens Point in Wisconsin Valley Conference Football. Saturday, starting with the pregame show at 12:35, kickoff at 1 p.m. on Wausau's only radio play-by-play home for high school sports, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
Maggie Dawn.
Federal judges are speaking out against Donald Trump's attacks on the rule of law and the Supreme Court's evident complicity. Join us as we speak with former Judge John Tinder and former Judge Diane Wood.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We do have baseball coming up later on today. The Brewers on the left coast against the Padres. Our broadcast starts at 2:35 as opposed to 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Which is nice for a left coast game. You cannot listen on this stream. You do have to listen on terrestrial radio so you can catch the action on WRCE in Richland Center and here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN. So the crew at the Padres, our broadcast starts today at 2:35. We haven't gone beyond the cheese for a while. We're very excited. Do we have the open, Kelvin? Let's go for it.
Beyond the cheese.
We go beyond the cheese, where we highlight industries in Wisconsin outside of dairy. We are delighted to be joined by the executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. Grant Holly is here. Good morning, Grant.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
We are great, and we are delighted to have you here. We love learning about Wisconsin, and I think because I've been doing this for so long, I am pretty aware of the importance of cranberries in Wisconsin, Grant, but I don't think people appreciate just how many cranberries we grow and what a big part of the state economy cranberries are.
We grow almost all of them, which is kind of cool. We account for about 67% of the country's cranberries and over half of the world's cranberries. So odds are when you're going past cranberries, especially if you're in Wisconsin, they were probably grown here. And they've been being grown here since Wisconsin was Wisconsin. So they've been here forever.
So the question I have is because whenever you hear, and I must admit, I think it was only a few years ago when I found out the importance of cranberries to our state economy, is when you think of cranberries, you think of a fruit. You don't generally think fruit's the best place in Wisconsin because of seasons and weather and all that stuff. So what makes Wisconsin so great for cranberry growing and our pure dominance in the industry?
Pure dominance.
Yes.
That's what we like to hear. Wisconsin forever. So what makes the cranberry so special, especially within Wisconsin? One is our climate. And there's the whole climate change piece and everything that's going on out there is actually only strengthening with cranberries right now. So the fact that they are a fruit that grows so far to the north means they're pretty hardy. They do have like a good coat on them. They have a nice skin. It's not easily bruised like other fruit, and it ships very easy. But the other piece is that it tolerates a lot of abuse, which is really kind of nice, which aids in the fact that you don't have to add a lot of things to it for shipping. You don't have to add things to it to be able to bring it home. It cooks well. It is packed full of nutrients. And then Wisconsin itself, because the cranberry originated here, there are so many special things about cranberries that we're only starting to be able to learn. When a crop is found in that area, there are symbiotic relationships. So if you picked potatoes up from South America and brought them to North America, you're not bringing everything else that goes along with it. You're not bringing all the little critters in the ground. Right. You're not bringing all the bacteria, all the fungus. And so you have to synthetically help that crop because it's in a brand new area. Sort of like a southerner moving up to Wisconsin. I got to find a big coat. I got that was
mittens. I need
job
mittens.
One. But with cranberries, we still have all of those things that are sort of in play, which helps us to be able to reduce a lot of other pieces that you see inside of agriculture. We don't till. And it really just makes a product that is really good for the environment. And as we're finding out more and more, it's really good for you. Boy, I sound like a commercial, but that's what I'm supposed
well, to say. Well, you are. You are a you are the executive director of Cranberry. So
yes.
So you're a cranberry pusher, well, essentially.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm your connection, no problem whatsoever.
The first taste is free.
We can do that. We have enough. We have more than enough.
So that leads me to another question then for me is that, you know, when we think of cranberries, we think of desserts, we'll think of juice, of course. What are things that we don't associate with cranberry that we may use in our everyday life? Or as you said, things we're finding out we're getting use out of them for that just, you know, they do a good job. What purpose do cranberries serve besides the usual suspects of what we eat and drink?
So, you go through the grocery store and you're right. You're going to find the juice. You're going to find some of the sweetened dried stuff that's out there, but you can really go beyond that. Again, Southern boy coming up to the North. One of the reasons why I wanted my seasons back. So that's why I love Wisconsin. So I'm a very seasonal person. I do cranberries exactly the same way. So I usually have some in the freezer frozen. They freeze up to a year, again, because of that nice thick coating that they have on them. And I'll use them for smoothies quite a bit. I'll literally just throw some orange juice in, throw some cranberries in, maybe a few blueberries, banana if you want. I'll bullet that sucker up. And suddenly you got a great snack in the summertime. But beyond that, so let's also, it's one thing that I love about Wisconsin is it's packed full of carnivores. Let's talk about where we can also bring it in. This segment is beyond cheese, but we can also talk about it. It pairs very well with so many of the Wisconsin cheeses.
I bet.
A wonderful thing to be able to do is go out and get a nice Wisconsin porterhouse. And then I'm the type that I kind of like it still moving. So I get it on the grill and I throw a little bit of Wisconsin brie on top of that to where it starts to caramelize.
What?
And then drizzle a cranberry relish on top of it.
Ooh, that sounds really good.
The only thing better is, especially with the holidays that are coming up, grab a bird. I don't care what kind of bird it is. Make it a pheasant. Grab it a turkey. A duck works really, really well. If you don't like a pigeon, grab one of those. I don't care. Cranberries will make it
I was going to say seagull.
Yeah. As long as you said seagull and not eagle.
No.
In case the DNR is watching, that's
yes.
a
no. No.
But you stuff those birds with those cranberries because stuffing always comes out a little edgy anyway. So you put the cranberries inside of the bird, inside of the cavity, and it really enhances the flavor. If you want to get some like the cinnamon flavored, I did some of the jalapeno flavored cranberries for duck. And again, it was a religious experience.
That sounds
so really the flavors.
And I just don't think that that's something people ever have ever thought of. It's you know, it's Thanksgiving. You have the turkey and you have, of course, the perfectly natural tin cranberries that come out with the ridges on it, which is their original form, naturally. But I mean,
that's how I grew up.
Right. Yeah, so me too. Did we.
That's
so
fancy eating. I don't know about you.
But I do think that there's a lot more going back to the natural state of things, which is only better for us.
Yeah.
It really is, and cranberries are so good for you. We're actually funding within the industry a number of health research pieces, and the health research that's starting to be able to come out. And we've always known that it makes E. coli nice and slippery. You say cranberry, somebody else is going to say UTI, and they're good. That's going to be harmonious all the way through. But this past year, we found out that the same bacteria that causes a lot of stomach ulcers, H. pylori. It does the same thing with that bacteria. It makes it nice and slippery, sends it out of the system. So now Occam's razor comes in to where if it's making these bacteria nice and slippery, what other bacteria are they making nice and slippery as well? So is this a flavorful kombucha? Is this something that actually is really helping with probiotics? Apologies to the kombucha people that are out there, but it's
not mine. It's terrible.
Cranbucha.
Terrible. Cran-bucha. This tastes good.
Cranbucha.
It's
right
there.
There
you go.
It's right there.
There's my $1 million. But this is, it's healthcare people can afford. It really is. It is incredibly healthy. There are flavonoids that are in there. Harvard's doing a huge research on them. Currently, they've been working on the chemical forever. And then they were actually looking to be able to source the chemical that's really aiding the human condition because their original source was not panning out well. And they tested cranberries and we were through the roof.
Wow.
So now we're sort of saddled onto that. They were doing the study anyway, but now they're actually using cranberries for the source because it's the most economical and it's the best source that they can use. It's only going to be good for us, we think.
If you're just joining us, we are going Beyond the Cheese with Grant Holly. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. We own cranberries, baby.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
we Wisconsin, do. We own them.
And that's the question I want to ask, and I don't want to get you in trouble because I know you're the executive director of the association, so I know you have to walk probably political lines just in your business and industry. But when we think, you brought it up yourself, when people think cranberry juice, they'll also think UTIs. Is there, you know, cranberry juice is great, I love it, but it's also very sugar-packed, and I don't think it's the best representation of cranberries. What do you say to people who just will say like, oh, I'll just drink cranberry juice? Do you say, well, no, you want to actually have the cranberry, put it in the bullet, mix it up, do that thing. But you can't rely upon a store-bought sugar-packed cranberry juice to do the job of what you're talking about.
You know, you're absolutely right. And this is going to come down to a lot of personal preference. Sometimes it comes down to willpower because so there is like a cranberry pure that's out there and you take a shot of that a day and it is 18 kinds of amazing. It is bitter. And if you sit back and it's like that's what keeps you from taking it, then OK, let's at least get the stuff that's inside of you. It's I'm a Gen Xer. I took Flintstones vitamins when I was a kid, so that means I'm going to live to be 1,000.
Nice.
But one of the reasons why kids took Flintstones vitamins is because they had added sugar. And my grandmother, it's again, go back down to the South. And when the chickens came out of the barnyard, they were incredibly healthy. We fed them incredibly great, yada, yada, yada. But for me to be able to eat it as a kid, the things that my grandmother did to that chicken did not make it what I would call healthy in and of itself. So whatever you do to it is completely up to you to be able to bring it into your diet. But you are bringing those nutrients into your diet. Personally, I do take a lot of the fresh cranberries. I freeze them out. I like the taste, to be perfectly honest. I don't need the sugar. And there are numerous products out there that have literally zero sugar, low sugar, and then you got the others that basically add in as much sugar as you're going to find in raisins naturally.
Grant, do you have to do anything to fresh cranberries? Because they're really hard, aren't they?
They are, but play with it is the best thing that I can say. Literally turn it into an experiment, turn it into a family type of event. So again, when I throw it inside of a bird for stuffing, they break down nice and easy. Sometimes I'll smush them up a little bit to try and get more of the juice in. I'm still sort of messing around with that. But it's that even though they are kind of hard, now brings in a ton of fiber into your diet at the same time. So again, you're getting even more of the good stuff that's actually starting to be able to come through.
We're going
to
continue our conversation with Grant Holley as we go beyond the cheese with the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. Cranberries, not just for throwing at your younger siblings anymore. We'll have more on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Mayer on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Pop
Transform your bathroom with the beautiful quality of Bath Planet. Bath Planet has earned the Good Housekeeping Seal, a symbol of quality and consumer confidence for over 100 years. And right now, for a limited time, you can upgrade your bathroom for 50% off installation or choose 18 months with no interest and no payments. But you need to call now. This special offer is only available by calling 800-329-4115. That's 800-329-4115. Call 800-329-4115 right now before the offer ends.
Step right up. Circus history is alive in Wisconsin.
The circus would come to town and whole cities would shut down. There wouldn't be school, the stores would be closed because everybody would go to the circus.
A big part of the circus, the wagons, and now what's believed to be the last bell wagon anywhere is at Circus World in Baraboo. Commissioned by the Ringlings in 1892, this 10,000-pound rolling musical instrument was the crown jewel of the circus parades.
There's parade wagons. Circus parades would happen to get people excited to come see the circus. And so those are the very ornamented ones, lots of carving.
That's Jennifer Kronk. She's the curator of history at Circus World. Three other unique wagons owned by Felt Entertainment in Florida are also on loan for the next couple of years. It's a slice of Wisconsin and circus history right here, where you can relive the glory of the parade and echo of the bells calling you to the big top. I'm Terry Barr.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Beyond the cheese.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment on the live stream. Good morning, live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to be joined by our guest, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Association Growers. Grant Holley is here. We're talking all things cranberries. And we were talking before the break about all the things that you can do with them. And some of it, Grant, just requires a little experimentation. So you said you throw them in smoothies, and you throw them in right from the you freeze them just in their natural state, and you throw them in the bullet, and away you go.
That's it. And I've added them, of course, into muffins. I've added them into all kinds of baked goods because they take the heat really, really well. The recipes that we get, and if you actually go to our website, and it's really easy to find, instead of giving long addresses, I've learned to just tell people, just Google Wisconsin and cranberries. I guarantee you will find our site.
Right.
Tons of recipes that are on there.
Yeah, it's going to be in our show notes today.
Yeah, it's you'll find tons of recipes that are on there, and they're real. It's so much fun to be able to just play with them, and it's, again, as I said before, it's make it a family event. It helps the kids. They're pretty safe to be able to work with. Grab the kids and start coming up with your own recipes for cranberries. They heat well, they freeze well. They're not bullies, so they don't take over the flavors that other things will actually do. They really add to the flavor quite a bit.
Cranberries play nice.
There you go.
I gotta know.
Jenny on the live stream says, toss cranberries in a bit of powdered sugar and bake for 10 to 15 minutes. This takes the ultra hardness away and leaves a little fun pop when you bite down them. Great snack during the holidays. And she also goes on to say, the cranberry cannolis at the Wisconsin State Fair this year were... capital letters, outstanding. WTGWC. I don't know what that means.
Way to go.
Oh, there we go. I don't know. I don't know what the kids speak is. I don't know, like, you know, all you younger folks.
Jenny's my new best friend. So that works out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Who buys a lot of our cranberries, Grant?
Me.
Wisconsin really does quite a bit. Wisconsin buys quite a bit. And then we send out to a lot of the other states. At the same time, we have handlers inside of Wisconsin to make sure that the processed cranberries get out through the country quite a bit. The fresh cranberries, we have a lot of people come up and in from other states just to be able to get the fresh. A better network to be able to get the fresh out could be really good for the industry, and it's something that we are exploring. Internationally, we do send a lot of cranberries to Canada. We send a lot of cranberries over to Europe. We send a lot of cranberries over to China. And it's whether it's for the health reasons, whether it's because they're so hardy, whether it's because they transport so well, but there's also this level of people want crops that are incredibly sustainable.
Sure.
And there's that piece as well. And really if you eat cranberries, you can eat it from Mother Earth as well, because we don't till. The farms that we have been there for 100-150 years. We have vines that are older than I am, by far, thank God, by far. But it's these things, they wouldn't still be there if we were doing things incorrectly. One of the best things that we have to be able to keep our weeds down and our bugs down is ice. The next one is sand. So really, when those are your big natural pieces, because they were found here and they grow here, the environment has already found a way to be able to help them grow. So
they're pretty clean, right?
Yeah,
they're pretty clean. Are they very labor intensive? Because we talk to people who grow ginseng in Wisconsin, and good heavens, you have to sing to that stuff. Are cranberries as labor intensive as like ginseng?
Not as labor intensive as ginseng. Those folks, boy, they work really hard.
They do.
Our folks do as well, but it's because we are able to do it with fewer people. So a single family can work a medium-sized cranberry marsh almost by themselves. So we've taken so many of the hybrids. Before, when harvest would last like maybe a week or two, you needed all kinds of people, all kinds of equipment, but Wisconsin farmers really invested into their state. So we have these hybrids now, and we have hybrids that will start producing their berries that are ready to be harvested right around the second week of September. And then we have hybrids that will delay so that we can go almost all the way to hunting season.
Wow.
For some of the larger marshes. So two or three folks inside of a family can actually handle the harvesting if they're able to stagger it as best that you can. This year in the weather, of course, Mother Nature likes to throw curveballs. We are moving a little bit faster this year than we have before. This warm weather during harvest is kind of unheard of, and we're learning how to deal with it. But one of the pieces that it has done is we have growers that are out there for 14, 16 hours a day bringing in their berries, because we need to bring them in now.
Now, yep.
We don't want them sitting in the heat and humidity for much longer. So, I mean, they're tough and they handle that cold and they do tolerate the heat. But for these lengths of time, no. Well, you're going to pull them in.
Yeah, farming is constantly having to adjust, mm-hmm. right? It's constantly, it never ends. We're going to include links to the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association so you can find recipes and all kinds of wonderful things.
As well as the Cranberry Festival happening in Warrens, Wisconsin this weekend if you want to have some fun with cranberries.
It's going to be packed. People show up. The weather's going to be beautiful. It is going to be beautiful.
Grant Holly is the chief cranberry pusher for the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. It's been such a delight, Grant. It really has.
I'm getting a new name tag. I'm getting credit where credit is due. I'm getting a new name tag.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate
it. Thank you guys so much. You have a wonderful day.
You as well. News is coming up next, and then we're going to Audio Sorbet. We're going to talk to our friend and colleague, Dave Grant, from Max FM in Baraboo. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. The field for governor continues to get bigger. Now, Tom Tiffany has announced he's running. It was widely speculated he'd launch a campaign to take Wisconsin's top seat. Savannah Tomei Olson has the details.
Tiffany announced his campaign in a video released yesterday.
I'm Tom Tiffany, and I'm running for governor because I love our state. I see where we are headed, and I know we can do better. You know we can do better. I will freeze property taxes, protect our farmland from communist China, and I'll preserve our Wisconsin values, just like my mom does with her pickles. Girl sports will stay for girls, moms will be moms, not inseminated persons, and common sense will win.
Tiffany is a former state lawmaker. He came into office in 2011 and was a prominent Republican voice during the Budget Repair Bill, or Act 10. After 9 years in the state house, he went federal. He's represented Wisconsin's 7th congressional district since 2020. That's much of western and northern Wisconsin. Now he says he's ready to lead the whole state, and took aim at leadership in neighboring states and in Madison.
We cannot let Minnesota's madness and Illinois' insanity to take over here in Wisconsin. Madison politics may smell like the barn, but I know how to clean up the bowl.
In the Republican primary, Tiffany faces Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and businessman Bill Berrien. Democrats running include Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, State Senator Kelda Royce, State Representative Francesca Hong, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, and Milwaukee businessman Ryan Sternad. Primaries are next August, and the general election will be the following November. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News. You can find more news anytime at WXCO.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Making movies seems like a pretty good gig. Believe it or not, there are people who whine and moan about it, according to wrestler-turned-actor David Bautista. He told GQ he is getting older and more choosy about projects and says, quote, "I want to work with people I just love and respect because I love this business. I love filmmaking and the art, and if people don't want to be there, I don't want to be there with them." This was obviously before reviews for his new film, Afterburn, came out. If you're looking for something to rent that you might have forgotten about or never got around to seeing, check out a film that's climbing the HBO charts. 2011's The Sitter is more or less a remake of the Elizabeth Shue 80s comedy Adventures in Babysitting, albeit a more foul-mouthed and raunchy one. Jonah Hill and Sam Rockwell star in the film that critics say might be worth a revisit. If you're wondering why it was forgotten about, it could be because it received a 22% on Rotten Tomatoes, but it does have Sam Rockwell. It's worth checking out, as sometimes history is kind to comedies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Slightly cooler today with mixed skies. Highs only scrape about 70. Got patchy fog possible again overnight tonight. And after it lifts tomorrow morning, it'll reveal abundant sunshine and highs warmer in the mid-70s. And we hold that for Friday, too. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 60 degrees at our studios.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Angels of Dirt director and record producer Wendy Schneider. Civic Media's David Grant tells us how you can take over a radio station for a day, and wrestling announcer Rich LoCascio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Must we take this disgrace? Another Bears fan throwing insults in our
good
face.
Morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvi Tini on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You can also call and text and leave a voice note directly via the Civic Media app.
Mm-hmm.
And another reason why you should have the Civic Media app is you have the opportunity to listen to Civic Media stations all across the state, including in Baraboo. Joining us for Audio Sorbet right now, Dave Grant from Max FM in Baraboo. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great. How about yourself today, Jane?
We are great. We just had a wonderful conversation with the Wisconsin Cranberries Association. He was so much fun. Mm-hmm. But I love this fundraiser that you do. One of the reasons that I wanted to talk about this is because people in southeastern Wisconsin can actually take part in this fundraiser that's happening in Baraboo tomorrow. Tell us about the fundraiser for Hope House.
Yeah, so certainly people can actually get involved worldwide this year because we're going to be streaming over the Civic Media app starting at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. 99.7 Max FM in Baraboo, 103.7 FM in Reedsburg. And we're doing the Max FM Hope House Radio Request-a-thon to benefit Hope House for Purple Thursday. And we let our listeners take over the airwaves. And you get to pick any song you want to hear. Minimum donation of $5 gets that request on the air. $10 to do a dedication. And if you want to bump the song like you just heard, $25 gets that song off the air and replaces that song.
I love that so much.
I have a question though. So Dave, say you request a song and you pay your $5 and it's whatever. Yep. Let's just say
it's the Bears Still Suck.
It's the Bears. Okay, we'll use that as an example. And I say, no, I want to knock it off the air. So I have to pay $25 to knock it off the thing. Can you, as Dave Grant, who really wants to hear that song, call back and say, I'll give you $100 to play that song? Is it like almost like a counter, like back and forth?
It is, and it's funny you mention that, Greg, because what happened last year, someone wanted to hear the Bears Still Suck, so we put it on air, and so a Bears fan didn't like that, so then they did the Bears Super Bowl Shuffle. And this went back and forth for about 20 minutes last year, and you know,
and we all had to suffer.
We did. It was like, okay, when that came on, I immediately got out my $25 and then put that right down the table and said, no, we can't have this. And so it does happen. There's a lot of requests that come in. Someone doesn't want to hear. We had a family going back and forth last year. Their daughter played Christmas music. And guess what? Mom and dad were like, no Christmas music in September. So they put their request in. Daughter bumps their request off. They went back and forth for about a half hour. It was priceless. And it all benefits Hope Hollis of South Central Wisconsin. It is such a wonderful way to help them out. Our goal is lofty. $5,000 goal.
We can do it.
We can do it.
We can do it. We will do it.
Yeah.
Tell us about Hope House, because Hope House is really one of the only shelters that's available for several counties in your area. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that is correct. So Hope House is a domestic violence shelter that serves five counties in our area. It's the only domestic violence shelter in Sauk, Columbia, Marquette, Juneau, and Adams County. So it's a wide coverage area that they help support. And so all this money goes to help Hope House of South Central Wisconsin. They lost a lot of federal funding last year. And so we're trying to do our best to help supplement that, because they have an incredible mission and we want to help them. And last year we had a goal of $3,500 and we met it at the very last minute after some of my coworkers talked me into getting purple fingernails if we hit that goal.
You did.
And we did hit the goal, end up with purple fingernails. And this year, if we hit $5,000, myself and our co-host Emily is going to dye her hair purple. We even got the new intern who's been here 3 days. He's going to dye his hair purple.
Wow.
If we hit the $5,000 goal. He's got blonde hair right now, and he's going to go purple if we hit this goal.
Welcome to radio, kid.
Yep.
Again, one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, Dave, is because we can help you reach that goal. Mm-hmm. $5 at a time, $10 at a time, $25 at a time. You can listen tomorrow and take part in this. And all you have to do is download the Civic Media app and then just click on Max FM. And you can listen to the stream starting at 7 o'clock in the morning, and you can make your requests. You can counter bid to knock somebody off the air, which I just love so much.
And we made it real easy. We're going to have the link right on the 99.7 Max FM Facebook page. It'll be up there by 7 o'clock at the latest. You can also go to our website, max.fm. You can click on the community calendar. We already have the link out there. So if you click on the Hope House request link, you'll get that right now. Somebody already put a request in for tomorrow morning.
Oh, what's the, can you tell us what it is?
You know, I can tell you what it is, because it's going to be interesting, because I know the person that made the request as well. So that's kind of the neat part about this as well. And so we're going to hear Prince 7, and then we're also going to hear Tootsie Roll by the 69 Boys. And so... I know who made that request already, but you're going to have to listen tomorrow to find out.
It was Jane Matinere.
That would not be my request. Yeah. I have a different request because I'm going to call in tomorrow.
And I also just want to let everyone know that if you want to also, you can go to civicmedia.us and find the links. You can go to Max FM's website. That not only will the website for the station be in the show notes, but the website to the direct event will be there as well. So you can find it all by going to civicmedia.us/shows, find it in our show notes. You can find it and please give, request songs, knock songs off. I love this. I really love this event.
It's a great, great fundraiser. I heard you guys do it last year and I just laughed my head off. And it is for such a good cause, especially when you mentioned, Dave, that Hope House, which is this domestic violence shelter that serves five different counties, lost a whole bunch of federal funding. And we need these facilities for people who are trapped in horrible situations. So I really hope that you can take part tomorrow via the Civic Media app. That's how you can listen if you don't live in the Baraboo area. If you're just joining us, Dave Grant is our guest, our colleague at Max FM morning show host. They have their big Hope House fundraiser starting tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. What time does it end, Dave?
Well, it's supposed to end about 4 o'clock, but if it's anything like the past couple of years, we went until 5:30 last year.
Oh boy.
We'll keep taking the requests until they stop coming in. We really want to hit that goal. So we'll play those requests as long as it takes. If I have to be here till 8 o'clock at night, I'll keep on going. There's nothing saying that we have to stop, except if I lose my voice. That was as we got towards the end of the day last year, I know myself and my co-host, Maddie, was starting to lose her voice.
That's a long day, man.
Put the intern on the air.
That's what the plan is. Yes, he's excited. And so it's his first time of seeing all of this. I know my morning show co-host will be in here. Aaron Crennel is going to pop in for a little while So we'll have Aaron here. And then my co-host from Sunday nights is actually going to pop in here as well. And she's filled in on the morning show with us. My lovely wife, works here part-time, and she's agreed to take the day off her regular job to hop in and co-host tomorrow morning as well with us to support this cause.
It's really a group effort. It really is. And together, we can make a big difference. We can make a big help, $5 at a time. Yeah. If I'm going to request this tomorrow, but I thought we'd give you a little preview now. Calvin, can we play that song that I asked you to download, please? You never heard this?
So,
and me?
No.
And Tim?
Whoa. Yeah, it's very interesting right now what's happening. Because this is once again another example of why you should watch the live stream. This song is about being trapped in a mine, correct?
It is.
Yeah, and yep. Jane is dancing like she is at her own wedding, and it's her song. She's so excited, and I don't understand what's happening at this moment.
I was 11. It came out in 1971. We used to sing along, and I had no idea what they were talking about. None whatsoever. Timothy.
I understand the context because, you know, when I was a young kid, I was like, did you happen to see the most beautiful girl in the world? You're 7, but tell her I'm sorry.
It's just one of those things. And I've never forgotten that song. And when I finally realized they were singing about cannibalism. Oh, yeah.
Good Lord.
It's a really dark pop song.
And you can hear it yourself for $5 by listening to Max FM tomorrow.
Or you can knock it off the air.
Yeah, it's true. You can knock it off the air.
You can.
Yeah.
You could. Well, and here's the interesting part. We've even had polka songs on here during this. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a wide variety. We've had country songs on here. I mean, and the funny part is it was back when I was here part-time. We'd know some of the songs that would get our boss going that he wouldn't want to hear. Mm-hmm. So we'd make sure we put those requests in for him. Then he would have to bump it off air as well. You know, a little friendly internal competition.
That's great.
Well.
That's great.
That's fantastic. I love that. I love that. Are there, I mean, there are, you talked about the bear songs. You talked about, you know, people bumping and the stories of the families. Are there typical songs that just always, almost, it's almost like, oh, we got that song. We know it's going to get bumped. Is it? There's always a competition we can rely upon.
Oh, yeah, for sure. If we have Same Old Lang Syne, that song's going to get bumped by somebody. That song every year gets requested. Every year that song gets bumped. It's a guarantee if that comes on, somebody's going to bump that song.
Then let me put this challenge out to you, oh, giver of gifts and hater of music, if you don't like these songs. Call the station. If they're like, so like an old leg Zine, that's one that's always going to get requested. Yep. You make the promise that every time it's requested, you bump it with the donation. So it's not just $25. If you have the means, you say every time it's requested, it gets bumped. You then will give more and more and more. And that way you A, give to Hope House, which is important, and B, get to never hear the songs you don't like, because that's democracy in radio.
Yes, it is. And that's a part it's so much fun with this, right? You get to hear a wide variety of songs, some of these songs you never hear.
Right.
At some point, we're going to hear the Radio Shack theme song as well. That's the other neat part of this. If you've never heard that, you got to tune in.
Okay.
All right. Radio Shack theme song. Who knew there was one?
It's actually about being trapped in a mine.
And Radio Shack comes to save you.
And you eat the radios.
Terry Ryan texting in, Timothy, you, I know, I'm sorry. It stuck with me. I was 11.
I mean, it's very funny. You're like, you've never heard this song? I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure they took it off the radio when they read the lyrics.
It was slightly before my time. I remember the song as well. And I didn't know what it was about either at that age because I was very young. And I'm like, hey, this is a pretty great song. And then you find out what it's about. You're like, oh, wait a minute.
Did they do what they said? I didn't know they did that thing. Exactly. Anyway, your opportunity to help out and help out Hope House tomorrow and have a whole bunch of fun. Make sure you download the Civic Media app. It is completely free. Go to wherever you get your apps, download the Civic Media app, and then pick Max FM on the app. You can listen to the stream starting at 7 o'clock. It's a wonderful, wonderful fundraiser. It's so much fun, Dave. I'm so excited for you and I can't wait to listen tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I can't wait to be part of it. And I just appreciate our whole Civic team pitching in to help out and all the Max FM team as well and Hope House.
Help them out. tomorrow. Yeah. Fundraiser for the Hope House on Max FM. Dave Grant, thank you so very much. I hope it's a great success. We'll check in with you later.
Sounds good.
Stay close. Coming up, we're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, No Dogs Allowed edition. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. President Donald Trump's March 25th executive order on elections, attempting to override the U.S. Constitution's grant of election authority to states and Congress, has so far been blocked by 4 of 5 lawsuits filed against it. A ruling in one of those cases, September 17th, allows a challenge from 19 states to move forward. The executive order would withhold federal funding from any state which does not implement the use of the National Voter Registration Form and mandate proof of citizenship documents, including a birth certificate, naturalization papers, a real ID compliant driver's license, or a U.S. passport. It would also end mail-in ballot grace periods, restrict ballot deadlines to Election Day, and withhold federal grants if they don't. States challenging the order include California, Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Nevada, Massachusetts, Hawaii, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Wisconsin. U.S. District Court Judge Denise Casper issued a stay on Trump's order in June, saying the states had demonstrated a substantial risk that citizens would be disenfranchised. Her September 17th ruling confirms that the states have legal standing to contest the president's order and that they would be harmed, particularly by the withholding of Help America Vote Act funding. We've linked to the order and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer. And a member of the Patriotic Millionaires, a collection of wealthy Americans who share a profound concern about the dangers of concentrated wealth and power in America. Now, the fact is, you may not care how much money another person has, but you likely do care how much power another person has, especially if they're using that power to rig the rules of the economy to make themselves richer and you poorer. You see, there is a point where money is no longer money. It's power. And when rich people use their money to drown out the voices of everyday people, it threatens the safety and security of us all. Patriotic millionaires don't want to live in a country with a few extremely rich people controlling everything, leaving millions of people struggling to just get by. Luckily, we have a solution. Tax the rich. Tax the rich. Tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you've been listening to the show and you would like to find out more about some of the things that we've talked about, mm-hmm. go to civicmedia.us, mm-hmm. look for shows at yep. the top of the page, click on shows, go to Matt and Air on Air, and there's an archive of almost 100 past shows, and Greg does a really great job in the show notes, including links to all of our guests and articles that we've talked about. So if you're looking for the Wisconsin Cranberry Growers Association, we'll have that link in there. We'll have a link to Max FM in Baraboo for their fundraiser for Hope House tomorrow. And yeah, check it out.
Jane, what if someone wants like a daily free roundup of everything we're doing here at Civic Media delivered directly to their email inbox free? What should they do?
You know what you could do?
What's that?
Civicmedia.substack.
Civic Media Today.
Civicmediatoday.substack.com. Mm-hmm.
Correct. For this new newsletter. It's hard to say. The new news. Yeah, no other
way. New newsletter. So,
our brand new newsletter, Civic Media Today. You can sign up for it right now. Go to civicmediatoday.substack.com. Very simple. You sign up, and then every day we send you a message in your inbox with a great distillation of the day before.
All across the network.
Whether it's local news, whether it's podcasts, whether it's a network show, and news going on in and around the network, you're going to find it all by going to civicmediatoday.substack.com. Sign up for it now. It is absolutely free.
Yes.
Like a lot of things here at Civic Media, free. The app. Our jokes are free. You're welcome. But yeah, go to civicmediatoday.substack.com. Sign up for it. You're welcome.
And speaking of the app, you have to have the app in order to enter our multi-state text to win. Go for the green and gold contest. And your next keyword is going to be coming up with Tom Hartman in the 11 o'clock hour.
Yep.
So make sure you have the Civic Media app. You can download it for free wherever you get your apps. Coming up tomorrow, we have another jam-packed show. Jim Santel will be here. Congressman Mark Pocan is going to be joining us. And also the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan will be here to talk sports. So join us tomorrow for all kinds of things. Right now, it's getting late, Calvin. 10:55. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from CNN. Barbie Nadal with the byline. And the headline reads, Italian tourist town imposes a tax on visiting dogs. Starting next year, owners of dogs visiting the northern Italian city of Bolzano will be hounded.
Oh, God.
It's in the article.
I don't care.
For a daily tax of $1.50. Just under $2.
Oh, okay.
As a clampdown on dogs in the pristine destination. Local owners are being asked to pay an annual tax of 100 euros a dog.
That's how they get you.
Well, this is meant to offset the cost of street cleaning and to fund new parks, dog parks. Remains unclear whether rumors that dogs will be barred from regular city parks. They don't know if that's going to happen or not.
Yeah.
But apparently people aren't picking up after their pets.
And that's where my problem lie. You know what? If you want to raise some funds, I get that. Fees are a thing that happens. Dog park. Like, fine. I just blame this on irresponsible pet parents.
Without a doubt.
You're the ones who started this.
Absolutely.
You bring a baggie.
Ruin it for the rest of us.
Now I got to pay a $1.50? I don't even know what that is in real money. So, yeah.
After the resounding and costly failure, instead of focusing on civic education and citizen awareness, we're again choosing this way out, taxing animals and their owners. The measure not only penalizes families and tourists who travel with dogs, but it is turning animals into taxpayers.
Yeah.
Not everybody's happy about this. But again, come on. Fellow dog owners.
It's not difficult
to do.
It's
not hard to pick up poop.
No, it's not.
I actually knocked on a stranger's door once when Barkley was still alive, and I was dog sitting for some friends, and I had what I thought were enough bags, and of course, one of them surprised me.
Yeah.
And so I went up to the door, and I knocked on the door, and I said, I'm mortified to ask you this, but do you have a plastic bag so I can pick up the gift? Yeah. Stella left on your yard, and she was so gracious about it. But it's like, I would rather do that than leave it there.
That happened to me once when I was walking Maybell. I thought I had bags in my pocket, and I didn't, and she did her business. So I looked around and found a dirty, wet bag on the ground.
You did?
Yep. And I was like, this is my punishment for not really checking, thinking I already had them, but I did not. So it was taken care of, but this is not difficult. This is day one learning. You learned this before you own a dog.
It's part of being a pet owner.
Yeah.
So just pick it up, all right? Thank you. That concludes today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. Mm-mm. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and watching on the stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman. So keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will see you tomorrow.
Listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM. W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. At least two detainees were killed, another wounded in a shooting this morning at an ICE field office in Dallas. Police Chief Daniel Como moments ago.
We had four individuals that were shot, two of them deceased, including the shooter. The DPD was quickly able to locate the shooter, who was deceased.
Homeland Security says the shooter died of a self-inflicted wound and fired from a nearby roof. Anti-ICE messages were inscribed on the bullets. CBS News Homeland Security contributor Sam Vinogrand.
It's important to remember that the secure perimeter only extends so far. And in this case, we are hearing that a sniper was involved. And that means that the secure perimeter obviously didn't extend far enough, nor could it if a sniper was shooting from a long range.
The Dallas ICE field office has been the scene of protests and at least one bomb threat. Again, two detainees shot and killed there today. CBS News.